From the Tops podcast is made possible with support from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering vacation ideas for foodies, families, film buffs, and others. Learn about the Bay State at massvacation.com.
Thanks for downloading our podcast. This is Christopher O'Reilly, and this show from our home in Jordan Hall really brought down the house. The energy of the crowd is palpable, and the kids on the show responded with phenomenal performances. And gosh, the young cellist who opens the show, she is crazy good. She wore this memorable dress that you might see on an opera diva, but her performance was so easy and playful and without any pretense. Light as can be and virtuosic. And then the show continues from there with amazing kid after amazing kid. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. It's great to be back in Boston making music at our concert venue here in Boston, the superb Jordan Hall at New England Conservatory. A big thank you to Arthur Wynn and the Wynn Family Foundation for helping to make today's show possible. As our Boston crowd knows, we frequently feature competition winners on our program, but even for us, today's show is quite impressive that way. The teen bassist you're going to meet is this past year's winner of the prestigious Stuhlberg International String Competition. He's only the second bassist in the competition's entire 42-year history to beat out all those flashy violinists and cellists. And a little FYI, the first bassist to do it is also a From the Top alum. Our pianist today is this past year's winner of the Ruth Laredo Award. Our violinist won the Quincy Symphony's Concerto Competition here locally. And our first performer is the 2017 Junior Division winner of the Sphinx Competition for African American and Latino String Players. Please welcome, from Chicago, 15-year-old cellist Ifeatyo Ali Landing. Ifeatyo, the Sphinx Competition is so cool. Everybody says Sphinx is more like a celebration than a competition, but let's talk about that in a minute. First, we play. Please introduce the piece.
I will be playing the Allegro Appassionato by Saint-Saëns.
When you are ready, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
Kifetayu Ali Landing. 15 years old, our cellist from Chicago, played the Allegro Appassionato for cello and piano, Opus 43 by Camille Saint-Saëns. Kifetayu, that was a beautiful performance.
Thank you.
Not just the dress I'm talking about.
I mean,
it's just like, it's just spectacular. Such a great way to start us off.
Thank you so much.
So again, congratulations on your Sphinx competition win. As the winner, you've been soloing with professional orchestras across the country. Where have you been lately?
Wilmington in North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Buffalo. I just actually came from there 4 days ago, so that was recent. Where else? Detroit. I played the Sphinx Symphony while I was competing, so that was awesome. I think that's it.
New World.
Oh yeah, thank you. New World in Miami. In Miami, New World Symphony. That was awesome. It was really warm.
And you got another one coming up.
Yes, I will be performing at Wolf Trap with a bunch of other Sphinx.
That's big deal stuff. That's gonna be fun. What's been your favorite part of the whole experience?
Well, my favorite part has to probably be like the school performances. I really enjoy playing at schools and getting a chance to introduce the kids to the music, or if they already know about cello or instrument, I get a chance to show them more about it. And I've had actually some kids come up to me after I play for them or talk to them and ask me, how do I start taking lessons, or how do I get a private teacher, or just stuff like that. So that's been pretty fabulous.
And if the kids didn't know about the cello before, they knew about you before. How come?
One of the schools a lot of schools I went to in Wilmington, North Carolina, their teachers had showed them my videos beforehand. So I walked out on their stage and they were all screaming my name. And I was like, whoa, they all know me.
Absolutely. Did you tell the kids you visited in the school about your unusual other passion? I mean, we heard the other night about your budding ballet career, which you just decided to forego. But it started out with you being an amateur contortionist.
Yes. Actually, I've been into contortion since I was like six, probably. I've always loved it. I used to watch videos on YouTube when I was little for like hours every day. I'd just be like, that's what I want to do. And then when I was six, this is a sad story kind of. When I was six, I tried it by myself in my room. Could not walk for the rest of the day because I could not feel my legs. So just a heads up, don't try it by yourself. But now I have a teacher, and it's kind of just like my own little secret that I have with myself when I'm like walking down the street. I'll be like, I can touch my feet to my head, and I bet that person probably cannot. So
I know for a fact that I couldn't do that. And I also know for a fact that there's going to be a whole lot more people screaming your name when they hear you next time.
Kifetayu,
it's been beautiful playing with you, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you for playing with me.
Kifetayu Ali Landing, 15 years old from Chicago.
Check out our online video series featuring music videos with our young musicians performing with artists from across the musical spectrum. Go to YouTube/FromTheTop. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to FromTheTop.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Naomi Yamaguchi. I'm 13, and I play the piano.
Okay, jumpy, jumpy. Are you going to dance, too?
Yeah.
So that's my dad. He's singing on an old family video, accompanying my dancing as a little girl. We did this all the time. He'd sing or hum, and I'd twirl around and pose at the end.
Okay, can we go now?
These times are my earliest memories of loving music. The cool thing about this video is that I was dancing in the rain right outside of Notre Dame in Paris. I guess I was a kid who expressed my happiness through dancing and singing.
Good job, Naomi.
I started making my own music when I was four. This is sound from a video from my first recital, me and my teacher playing together. I remember loving that everyone was looking at me, and I was so amazed to see how I got everyone's attention by playing piano, and so I just stared back at the audience, and people started laughing because I wasn't looking at the keys at all. And I just thought, this is awesome. I knew I wanted to become a professional pianist when I got to play with an orchestra for the first time. This is me playing Mozart's Piano Concerto in A major with a local orchestra. I will never forget when the conductor came over to my house and we practiced how I would follow his baton. I still think back on that moment and I remember how I dreamed and still dream of someday traveling the world with orchestras. That's when I got really into playing the piano and started practicing piano more. Beyond my dream of becoming a professional musician, I love the piano because of the ways it stirs up my imagination. Like with this piece I'm about to play, a piano arrangement of a theme from Giancarlo Minotti's opera, The Old Maid and the Thief. The piece is in two parts. First, a melancholy ricercari. I like to think of the maid who has decided to take in Bob, a handsome guy she thinks is a thief, but is not at this point, and it's like she's saying to herself that she shouldn't love the thief, but is contradicting herself saying she does love the thief. I tried to put some melancholy into it. And then in the toccata part, where I can imagine Bob, who's actually an honest guy, but he's now turned into a thief because of what's happened in the story. And he's running away with the pretty housemaid. Maybe they're tripping over something, and when it's really quiet, they're hiding behind a garbage can. But maybe you'll have your own interpretation. Just don't expect me to stare at the audience here at Jordan Hall. I've gotten over that. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Reach Your Car and Toccata on a theme from Giancarlo Menotti's The Old Maid and the Thief, played by 13-year-old Naomi Yamaguchi from nearby Acton, Massachusetts. Naomi, I've heard that piece a number of times, but hearing a performance like yours, where you just own this, I get jealous. I think, God, I didn't realize it's such a great piece. I ought to play it. No, Naomi owns it. Damn.
Thank you.
As you said before you played, you're very happy performing, and actually we met in your old home of Detroit.
Yes.
About a year ago, and I could tell you're a very positive and enthusiastic person. So much so that I understand it's sometimes been a little hard for you to conjure up sadness in order to play sad pieces. So what do you do to get in the mood?
So when I was little, I loved to draw. I drew a lot. So when my mom asked me to put a little sadness in the second movement of the Mozart Concerto in A major, I drew a picture of Mozart, and he's dropping a piece of Godiva chocolate. So I guess at 7 years old, dropping a piece of chocolate was the saddest thing I could.
I agree.
No,
it's terrible. Hey, so that A major concerto that you play so beautifully, did you play that concerto when you won the Ruth Laredo Award?
Yes. So I received the Ruth Laredo Award when I was in Michigan. So the cool thing about winning this award was when I performed the concerto, a special orchestra was created just for this performance. And also there was a view of Lake St. Clair in the background, so it was just magnificent to play there. And also, I was so glad that so many people could come to my concert because the parking lot soon got full, and so people had to start parking nearby, and some people even had to start standing up to in the hall. And to add up on all that, Ruth Laredo's sister was there, and after the concert, she came up to me, and she told me that Ruth Laredo would have loved my concert, and I was very honored.
Yeah. Well, I know Ruth was from Detroit. She was a very dear friend when she was alive. And I know from personal experience that Ruth would have loved your performance,
as
we all did. So thank you, Naomi, and congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
Naomi Yamaguchi, 13 years old, from Acton, Massachusetts. Continuing with our theme of competition winners on today's show, the young man standing at center stage is the guy who won this past year's Stuhlberg International String Competition. His name is William McGregor. He's 18 years old from Malvern, Pennsylvania. As I mentioned at the top of the program, he's only the second bassist in the competition's history to take the top prize. I have the privilege now to join him in performing the first movement of Giovanni Bottesini's Second Concerto for the Double Bass.
Thank you.
First movement, Allegro Moderato from Bottesini's Second Concerto for Double Bass, played by William McGregor, 18 years old, from Malvern, Pennsylvania. William, that was spectacular.
Thank you.
I don't even think these people know what they just heard. It was just such poise and mastery. So let's talk about your Stuhlberg win. Actually, describe your perilous condition just before the competition.
Yeah, so a few months actually before the competition, I came down with Lyme disease. It was the second time I got it, and it was really bad. It knocked me out for a few months, and I was just laying on the couch all day, and I missed school, I missed Juilliard, you know, my parents were worried.
How did you find out that you had it this time? How did it present?
So it first started when I was outside, I was playing basketball, and all of a sudden I just like, something in my leg was hurting so badly. I came inside, just fell to the ground. I had no idea what was going on, yeah. But it seemed bad.
Gosh, absolutely. So missed a lot of school, and I guess a couple of Juilliard weekends of lessons?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very hard. So you go to the competition anyway, and what was the scene like there?
At Stuhlberg, I mean, when I got there, I was just so happy with everything. Everyone there was so nice. And you expect a competition to be a place where everyone's, you know, really closed off, but everyone just wanted to help each other out. But the first day I got there, everyone was practicing in their practice rooms for, you know, 8-9 hours during the day. But I decided that after a few hours of practicing, you know, I wanted to do something else.
Okay, now, I just want to step back for a second because everybody else is practicing 9 hours a day. You're practicing, what, a couple hours
yeah.
a day? So give us a hint. Like, obviously you know what you're doing work-wise. What can you tell these people who are practicing 9 hours a day that you know that, I mean, you obviously just work more efficiently. Just give us one hint so that they don't want to beat you up now, all right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, not at all. But, I mean, I think that, you know, we know these pieces so well by the time we get to these competitions that if we're practicing, you know, over a few hours, it just seems a little bit like overkill. And mm-hmm. the best thing I think you can do is just to relax yourself, take your mind off it. So
good advice. So where in Kalamazoo did you go to cool off?
So as you all probably could imagine, I did the most normal thing and go to a baseball card shop. I think that's what everyone would do. I'm a huge baseball card collector, and I decided, hey, you know, why not have some fun while I'm here? So I went and collected some baseball cards.
Well, I mean, you're not just a collector, you're a trader. And when I say trading, I mean like Wall Street kind of trading. So what's the inside on the baseball card market?
So the baseball card market is basically the black market stock market. players who are doing really well, you can sell for a ton of money. Players who are doing badly, you sort of keep them aside, but you try to sell players while they're hot. And I say black market because it's sort of done off the grid at, like, flea markets and stuff. So, you know, it's a little bit shadier, but, you know, it's still fun.
But it'll be up and down, like, literally. I mean, what were you telling me? There was a card you had for $5 that was all of a sudden worth 20 because who was getting hits?
It was Aaron
time?
Judge.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sox fans.
That's just amazing. You made a killing. How much did you make in, let's say, one summer?
About $1,500,
$2,000. Jeez. Well, stick with the bass, but I think you're covered otherwise. So do you feel that winning the Stuhlberg competition has changed things for you?
Absolutely. You know, when I came into Stuhlberg, I sort of just saw myself just another kid who just played the bass, did some other things on the side. But afterwards, you know, I sort of thought, maybe this is something I could do for real or, you know, make a career out of it. So that was really exciting.
I think this is something you could go on to do for a living, my friend.
Thank you.
You're quite the master. And
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, we'd like you to come back at the end of the show and play again. Another movement of the Bottesini. You up for that?
Awesome. Thank you so
much. We'll do that. We're going to look forward to it. Thank you, William.
Great. Thank you.
William McGregor, 18 years old, from Malvern, Pennsylvania.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from our home, New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Coming up, a young violinist from the Bay Area performs from the A minor sonata for violin and piano by Robert Schumann. Today's recording is generously supported by Arthur Wynn and the Wynn Family Charitable Foundation. Special thanks to Peter and Linda Ross for their support of our educational and outreach activities associated with this Boston program. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. At the mic now is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists from Chino Hills, California, not far from L.A. Please welcome 17-year-old percussionist Jeremy Davis. Jeremy, welcome. We've wheeled a marimba to center stage, and you've brought a piece that I know you just love. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it was written by composer Takatsugu Muramatsu, and it's entitled Land, and it was written for one of his friend's wedding. And he actually delivered the world premiere of the piece at that wedding, and it's one of the most beautiful, well-known pieces ever written for a solo marimba. And it's also very rubato throughout, and so the composer really left it up to the performer to dictate the tempo, which I like.
Thank you.
Jeremy Davis, 17 years old, from Chino Hills, California, played Land by Takasugu Muramatsu. Jeremy, that was memorable. I know this is an illusion. It's my own illusion, but, you know, mallet instruments, we're dealing with mallets and the surface of wood or steel. And I just got this deep sound that you get. I felt like I was listening to a great pianist. I felt like your mallets were sinking to the bottom of the key rather than skating on the surface. That's just my illusion, but it's your illusion that you brought that to the stage. I know a few years ago you had a difficult choice to make, music or basketball.
Yeah.
Now, when did you really start playing basketball?
Yes, 2 years old. 2 years old, yeah.
You had some help, though.
Yeah. My brother was my biggest supporter and my coach as well. And so in the sixth grade, when I entered middle school, about 11 years old, I had to choose between the two because doing both just became too much and too hard, especially to keep up with grades and everything. And so I chose music over basketball, which at first, you know, kind of got my brother down, but he was able to get over it. And also he played basketball when he was, you know, growing up too. But in high school, he had a bad leg injury. And so that kind of stopped his basketball hopes. So I think that he really saw himself through me. But, you know, I had to let him down, but he's good now. Yeah.
I don't think you let anybody down with what you're doing now. Yeah. So why do you think you chose music?
I think it's just, all in all, I just love music better. And I felt that it was, I just had more fun playing music. And also, you know, you meet so many amazing people that, you know, are lifelong friends. And with basketball or any sport, really, there's only like 10 or 15 people on a team that are like your friends. But music, it's just endless. And there's so many different orchestras to be a part of. And yeah,
I was going to say, so sports is, you know, a team enterprise and it's, you know, everybody contributing to something larger than themselves. Yeah. And so we're very happy to have you in the music business instead of sports.
Thank you.
But you've been rewarded for that. Yeah. Tell everybody about the great experience you had this past summer and where you're going again this summer.
Yeah. So it's the National Youth Orchestra of the United States. United States of America. And it's an amazing program, and every year the organization gets a guest conductor to come. So last summer we had Ms. Maren Alsop, who's the music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. And this year it's Michael Tilson Thomas with the San Francisco Symphony. We also have amazing faculty. So we had percussion faculty from the Metropolitan Opera, Cleveland Orchestra, and et cetera. And the faculty is amazing, and they have so many master classes and, yeah, so many different opportunities and things to learn. And we also go on tour, so we went to South America this past summer, which was my first time out of the country, so it was, yeah, very special. And this year it's China, South Korea, and Taiwan. So, yeah, wow. Can't wait, yeah. Yes.
Well, Jeremy, there you are, a superstar on an all-star squad.
Thank you. We wish you all the best.
Have a great summer.
Thank you.
Thanks for being
Thank
with
you.
Us. Bravo. Thank you. Jeremy Davis, 17 years old, from Chino Hills, California.
Our weekly podcast features in-depth musical conversations, additional interviews, and rehearsal coaching sessions not heard on the radio broadcast. Subscribe at fromthetop.org.
And now, the music of Robert Schumann, the first movement of his Sonata No. 1 in A minor for violin and piano. I have the great pleasure of performing it with our next guest, Alex Goldberg from Redwood City, California. Thank you. Alexander Franco Goldberg, 17 years old, from Redwood City, California, performed the opening movement of Robert Schumann's Sonata for Violin and Piano in A minor. Alex is a student of Donald Weilerstein here at the New England Conservatory. Alex, I so enjoyed playing that with you. We don't get to do a lot of Schumann on the program, and thank you so much for bringing it to and bringing such insight and passion and expertise. Just a wonderful performance. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Alex, I used to do the New York Times crossword puzzle every day for a few years, but you, my friend, are really serious New York Times crossword puzzle fan. Can you do all the puzzles in the week?
I really do love the New York Times crossword puzzle, and I can do most of them, though the Saturday sometimes gives me some trouble.
Yeah, that's sort of the misnomer. I mean, the Sunday one looks big and imposing, but they get harder and harder Monday through, and actually the Saturday ones are the hardest. Why is that?
That's true. Well, the Sunday just has more real estate, but the Saturday's clues are more esoteric and tough.
Yeah. So how long does a really tough one, like a Saturday puzzle, how long does that take you?
I like to do them, you know, over an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
If I can't do that, then, you know, it's probably not going to happen.
Yikes. This gives us a unique opportunity, Alex, to construct your interview through a series of crossword puzzle cues. You up for that?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. I've given you a piece of paper and a pencil. I don't want to insult you. I know you probably do yours in pen.
Well, I'm not that brave.
If you guys want to play at home, you might want to grab your own paper and pencil. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give you the number of letters in the word, and then I'll fill in a few of those letters to help you out, and then I'll give you the clue. If you guess the word, I'll then ask you a question having to do with that word, something from your life. Here goes. I'm looking for an 8-letter word. The fourth letter is a P, and the last two letters are N and T. And the clue is hard to ignore in the room.
Well, I'm going to have to go with elephant.
Yes, excellent. Very good. And the personal connection here is that an elephant had a profound impact on you as a child.
Yeah, that's true. So as a kid, I really loved these children's books of Babar the elephant and all the adventures that he had. And one of the characters in it, whom I thought was just the coolest of the bunch, was this monkey, Zephyr. And actually, Zephyr the monkey played the violin. And he was always the one doing the most cool things, having the most adventures. And at one point, he actually saved the princess in the story with his violin playing, and that really made me want to play the violin.
Excellent. Now I've got a word that's 6 letters. It begins with B and ends with N. And the clue is the capital to Karl Heinz.
Well, that's got to be Berlin.
Yes, exactly. Is it true you actually conducted at the Berlin Philharmonic?
Well, yeah. And so essentially, I was in the San Francisco Symphony Youth Orchestra as a kid. I was 11. I was the youngest member of the orchestra. And the conductor knew that I had this interest in conducting. So what he would actually let me do, they called me the assistant conductor of the orchestra. And on the rehearsal days where it was someone's birthday, I would get to be the one who would conduct Happy Birthday with the whole symphony orchestra. And that year, my first year when I was 11, we went on tour throughout Germany and Austria. We played, you know, all over the place. The Munich Philharmonie, Salzburg, and one place that we happened to play was the Berlin Phil. And it just so happened that I was very lucky. It was someone's birthday the day that we were rehearsing in the Berlin Phil. So I got to conduct Happy Birthday in the Berlin Phil. So that's one off the bucket list.
That's right. Well, Alex, I will not be surprised in the least to see you reappear at the Philharmonie. It's great playing with you, great having you on the program, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. I've had a wonderful time.
Thanks,
Alex.
Thank
you so much.
Alexander Franco Goldberg, 17 years old, from the Bay Area in California. Well, I promised that we'd hear today's fabulous double bass player, 18-year-old William McGregor, perform a second time to take us out of the program. William, tell everyone what we will play.
So we will be playing Bottesini's second bass concerto again. Second movement, though, this time in B minor.
A beautiful end to our program today. I want to thank all of our fantastic young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now William will take this from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Aaron Nolan and assistance from Matt Dykeman. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Chris Rando, John Escobar, and Dev Ray. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent, nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. Thanks again for downloading, and here's a little something extra for you as a podcast listener. My performance of the Prelude and Fugue in B major from Johann Sebastian Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1.